The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Yeah. Are we going?
Well, is this on? Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Yes. Straightway of Grace Ministry. It's a new ministry. We have been traveling now for 4 years full time. Before that, while I was in school, as Greg mentioned, I used to go speak in some churches as we travel just locally here close to New Orleans. The name of the ministry really come from two verses. The first verse comes from the book of the Quran, which we'll be talking about today and Wednesday. It is the book, if the Muslim read, they will not continue in Islam faith. It is the book, if American read, there will not be Islam in America. But the sad thing is, as open this book is of its teaching, as clear in its teaching, people don't have a clue what's in it because people never read it. How many one of you here today have read the Quran? None. I know, before I ask the question, because I know what? I've been asking this question for the last 6 years or 7 years in a good 700-800 church in 13, 14 states in the United States, and nobody have read it. My challenge to you is to read it. That's what it is. I want Muslim to read the book. I want Christian to read the book. I want American who does not believe in anything to read the book. Because if American reads the book, they will never become Muslim. The book says, in chapter 1, verse 6, show us, or actually the word is guide us to the straight way. The answer of their question, this is a prayer they pray 27 times a day. The answer, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if the Muslims are sincere in their request to seek God, to know where God is, Jesus is the way. You know, I remember a year ago I was here and we quote this verse to a gentleman by the name John, who was a Baptist preacher and he became a Muslim. So me and him sitting here in Biloxi, and we talk, and I quote this verse for him, and he said, that's your interpretation. I said, interpretation? I'm reading the verse for you. I have not interpreted anything yet. See, literally, he is a Baptist preacher. When you tell him, he was, not anymore, when you tell him, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He tells you, that's your interpretation. How do you interpret this? I am not the way. You cannot get to the Father through me. You can get to the Father through somebody else, through Muhammad. No. You see, that's the problem. That even a people who claim to be a Christian, been a Baptist preacher for how many years, he does not know what the scripture says. If Jesus is the way, Muhammad is not. Right. If Jesus is the truth and Jesus is alive, and he said no one comes to the Father. See, Jesus cannot be a good prophet and a big liar. No. You can have it both. I can be a good preacher here and in the afternoon go do something terrible bad. But Jesus is not. If they just know the answer, they will know him. This is my family, and I bought the picture here because sometimes I go speak in churches and I don't have my family with me. Caleb and Vicky. Me and Vicky have been married now for 15 years. We met in Germany in 1990, and always people ask me, how you guys get together? And because we don't have time to talk about it for a long time, I give you the short version. And she used to be my unit leader. We used to serve together in a drama ministry. It's called the Covenant Players. And I don't like her to be my boss. I don't like to have a woman to be my boss. That's why I marry her. And then Caleb is almost 10 years old. He's a young man. He's full of energy. And I praise God for him. He loves Jesus and he has a good heart. Let's start with here. Revealing the truth about Islam is our first presentation. We do have a total of 10 presentations, each one of them roughly 2.5 hours, sometimes close, sometimes more. So if you have time to have me back, I would love to be back. We're going to cover this seminar two session today, as Brother Greg said, and Wednesday. Now, Wednesday, I don't want any of you to miss it. As a matter of fact, I don't want any of the seats to be empty. We have half of the church seats are empty, and if every one of us bring one person, some people are going to be standing up, and that's what I look forward to. So I don't want Wednesday, you guys sit home and relax and watch TV. I pray you have a worse headache, and electricity go off, and everything go terrible, unless you're here. Okay? So you come back Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and you bring one person, or two. It's okay? Now, the call of prayer you heard, now, it's not something you have to go to Saudi Arabia to hear. You just go to Detroit, Michigan to hear. As a matter of fact, you can go to New Orleans in the future, soon future, and you can hear the call of prayer. I don't have any problem for Muslims to have the call of prayer, but I have a problem that they silent the church sounding of the bells to put the call of prayer. Detroit, Michigan, are 650,000 Muslim people live there, and they went to the courthouse and they said, we don't like to hear this bang, 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 some music in the church. I found hadith. I couldn't believe it. The hadith, what we're going to talk about later, what Muhammad said, that if there is a church ringing bells in the city, the prayer of the Muslim will not be heard. Somehow, I'm not telling you a story, go online, search for yourself. They silenced the church bell, they won the case, and then a few years later, they went back, and they won the second case, and they had the call of prayer outside the mosque. That is happening in America, and I have more to share about what's going on in our country. And it's disturbing me that Americans didn't do anything about it. Here's a map of the Muslim world. Within the first 100 years, it began here from Saudi Arabia, as you can see in the next picture or a little bit later, and went all the way to North Africa, to Morocco, to Somalia, to Habesha, Somalia. It went to Asia. It took all Turkey. And as a matter of fact, they went all the way, as you see in Asia, as they took over Indonesia. And they, as a matter of fact, they went all over Europe. The Muslims went through Spain, from Morocco to Spain, and from Turkey. And there was two big physical war between the Spanish people and the Muslim of Morocco, who came from Morocco, and the French people and the Muslim who crossed from Turkey. And if it was not for this two big war, at the year 740 or 750, you will be here in this country today as a Muslim nation. Because simply, you are the result of the ancestor who flew from Europe or immigrated from Europe to the United States. And if they have surrendered, like Egyptian, like Libyan, like Tunis, like Morocco, like all this country, if they just give up and let the Muslim take over their country, you will be Muslim here tonight or this afternoon. When did Islam begin? You know, we talk about Muslim, we talk about Islam. Those American people does not even know. And I say this with respect for you, because some of you know and some of you don't know. What is the difference between Muslim and Islam? Literally, I spoke in churches many times, and later I found out people ask me, it's a question and answer. And people ask me, what is the difference between Muslim and Islam? That's how illiterate, how ignorant we are of knowing anything about these people. Muslim is the name of the people who believe in Islam, which is a religion. So Islam is a religion like Christianity. Christian, imagine me, Christian, Muslim. Muslim are the people who believe in Islam. Christian are the people who believe in Christianity. When did Islam begin? So many people I talk to me, they didn't even know. I add the chart later because they think that Christianity, as that Islam, was way, way before Christianity. People didn't have even concept when Islam came to the picture. Here we go. Adam and Eve was 4,000 years before Christ. The flood was 4,300 years from now, 2,300 years before Christ. Abraham was called by God 1,900 years before Christ. We know Moses was 1,550 before Christ. By the way, this is not a date. I made it up. That's what the Bible teaches. If you don't want to believe the Bible, you see, you cannot pick and choose from the Bible. Some of you believe in evolution. And evolution said 300,000 years ago, first man walked on earth. 300,000 years ago. That's a lie. We're talking about 6,000 years ago, not 60, not 600, 6,000 years ago, God created heaven and earth. You cannot tell me, well, the Bible did not really mean it, yom, yom. The word yom in the Bible is 24-hour day. You don't like it, that's up to you. Because somebody lied to you and brainwashed you with the lie of evolution, you don't twist and change the word of God. It is lies. There's no truth in it. It has never been proven. As a matter of fact, every evidence we have in our hands today proves that evolution is the biggest dumb lie for those who are dumber who believe it. I will prove it to you. Here we go. Evolution says men walk on earth 300,000 years ago. The Bible said 6,000 years ago. Now, we talk about the flood. Very important. Very, very important. 2,300 years before Christ. That's 4,300 years ago. If we start, then one evidence, I'm not going to talk about, that's not my topic. One evidence. If we said that man walked on earth 300,000 years ago, that means we have one man and one woman, because you have to have one pink and one blue to have babies, okay? Now, 300,000 years ago, one man and one woman, how many people will have today on earth? 25,000 people every square inch. Literally, you can put the entire state of Louisiana, are we in Louisiana now? Inside this room. Wake up, people. This is dumb. That's not science. That's foolishness. Now, let's talk about the Bible. Flood, 4,300 years ago. Noah, three sons, three daughters. That's normal, three family. How many people should we have today on planet Earth? Roughly between 6 and 7 billion. Guess how many we have on Earth today? 6.5 billion. The Bible, 100% true. And the dumb evolution is a big lie. Moses left Egypt, my home country, 1550 before Christ. Him and his people take all our gold and take all our silver. And our dumb army falls them in the water and they drown. King David, 1,000 years before Christ. And here we go, our Lord Jesus Christ. He came 2,000 years ago, 2,010 years ago. And guess what? When Jesus came, all the prophecy has been given from Adam and Eve all the way until Malachi, 400 years here before Christ, 450 years before Christ. All the prophecy has been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have time to get it, but let me share too quickly. God told Eve, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the snake. It is a very dumb statement. It's foolish. Woman doesn't have seed. But guess what? It's a prophecy about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, where Muslim people believe. Do you know that some Christian American don't believe in virgin birth, but Muslim believe in virgin birth? That's how foolish are we becoming in this country. Want to share one more? One more. Malachi, the one here before Christ, he's talking about Jesus, and he called him, his coming forth is from everlasting. Very important that this Messiah who will be born, Jesus, Yeshua, the Savior, that's his name. I mean, his name is Savior, but he did not die on the cross. That's what Muslims teach you. His name is Savior, but he never saved anybody. Wow, what a great Messiah. What a great prophet. His name is not even fulfilled. His purpose of his coming, you ask Muslim people, why did Jesus come to this world? We don't know. Why did Muhammad come to this world? We don't know. And they're prophets. Okay. So, Jesus is, his beginning is not the 2,000 years ago. He's from everlasting. Read the book of Philippi. Read the book of Colossians. Read the Bible. He is the creator who humbled himself and became a man. So Jesus is not just some man. We make him a God, as Muslims think. He is a God who become a man, who choose to become a man to save us on the, by his death on the cross. Here we go. Prophet Muhammad, 610 years after Christ. I always ask children, can anybody, when I go to speak in school, can any, and I get the kids excited, can anybody tell me, what is the letter come before the letter A? And they put their hand down. Can anybody tell me, what is the letter come after the letter Z? And they get disappointed because they don't know the answer. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the A and the Z. Nothing before him and nothing after him. Here's a map of Saudi Arabia. And in Mecca, Muhammad was born 570 AD. He lived to be a 40 years old man. And then he discovers that he's a prophet. He lived in Mecca 13 years after that. He turned 53 and he moved from Mecca to Medina because he gave up. His ministry did not work. People make fun of him. Nobody believed in him except 24. And then when he went to Medina, he became a militant man. He united all the Arab at this area. And then he came back to Mecca, wiped out all the Jew and the Christian. And from there is the beginning of Islam. It all began inside a cave, as some Muslim scholars believe. But the name of the cave is Hara. Ghar Hara. The cave of Hara. And inside this cave, Muslims said that Muhammad used to go and meditate. Well, meditate on what? I don't know. Because he was not a Jew. He was not a Christian. Bukhari hadith tells clearly that his family were the idol worshiper. Actually, his family were the people in charge of the God inside the Kaaba, the black building you're going to see on Wednesday night. That's what was Muhammad's family is. Idol worshiper. Inside the cave, he saw a spirit. So he ran to his wife Khadija in a cold night. He was sweating in a cold night, and he ran to his wife Khadija and told her, I saw a spirit. She said, calm down, Muhammad. I will test it for you. I will make sure that it is a godly spirit. Or he did not know. Literally, Muhammad did not know if it's a godly spirit or demonic spirit. You go online and search for yourself, and you see the test of Khadija. This comes from Saudi Arabia website. The test of Khadija and the proof of Muhammad's prophecy. That's how Khadija figured out that Muhammad is a prophet. When she told him, if you see the spirit again, you just let me know and I will test this for you. Well, guess what? It was another time when Muhammad saw the spirit and he said, here it is, Khadija. I saw the spirit. It's here it is. And she started taking her clothes off. And they said, do you still see the spirit? He said, no, the spirit is gone. She said, I swear by Allah, it is a godly spirit. It is angel Gabriel and you are a prophet. See, the mentality of Arab at this time, people of Muhammad days, that if a woman take her clothes off in the presence of demonic spirit, they don't mind to look at naked woman. But if it was a godly spirit, the spirit will leave the room. And since the spirit left the room, that proves that Muhammad did not meet with a demonic spirit, but a godly spirit. How did she know that the spirit name is Michael or Gabriel? I mean, where did she figure the name? She knew it was Gabriel. She knew that he is a prophet. You never read in the Bible that Jeremiah or Nehemiah or Isaiah or Elisha or any of the prophets in the Bible run to their wife. Honey, take your clothes off, baby. I want to make sure it's a godly spirit. But this happened with Muhammad. And that's the proof the Muslim people have for us today that he is a prophet. Don't forget what the Bible said. And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Yes, Muhammad saw a spirit. Yes, Muhammad saw a light. Yes, he saw an angel of light. Could it be Satan? Wait, and you judge for yourself. This is the book of the Quran. I have a copy here with me today. It's not a very big book. You see him sometimes in a huge size. He puts them in a big papers and was big written and decorative covers. And they try to make it very holy, significant, manifest book. I don't know what else you can say about it. It is, let's talk just about the name. Just tell me what to do. The name in the middle here, Al-Quran Al-Karim. When you translate it to English, will it be a holy Quran? Will it be Final Testament? Will it be glorious Quran? None of above. They say here in the site, لَا يَمِسَّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهْرُونَ. No one touch it unless you are pure. You have to be clean to touch it. Well, I thank God for my Bible. The wicked touch it will become holy and clean. Amen. Why did he put these names for you? Because you know it's written in English for people who speak English. You are familiar with Holy Bible. Well, guess what? Holy Quran too. Is it holy? You're familiar with Final, New Testament, and Old Testament, and Final Testament. Glorious Quran. The real name of the Quran is Generous Quran. Kareem is generous. I come to your home and you fix me a good meal and lots of food. You're generous. Most Arab, Muslim are generous. You go to their homes, they fix you the last sheep they have. The last two chickens they have in the backyard. Generous Quran. That's the real name. Now, why these are stated holy? I don't know. It's just a way of deception, I believe. If I give you a container of salt, you're familiar with it, and I change the name from salt to sugar, how sweet the salt will be? Still salt. Now, Let's get to this slide here. This comes from a Muslim site called alislam.org, and the slide said, the glorious Quran, he used the word glorious here, is the word of Allah as revealed to his prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. I don't think Muslim people really understand what the difference between what is the word revealed mean and what the word prophet mean. Revealed means something you do not have before. Revealed something, new information, new revelation is something that... Now, when you read the Quran, I read it this year alone 10 times so far for our translation. I'm in my 10th. When you read the Quran, will you find any new information in it? Something we don't have before? For those who never read the Bible, that's a whole new book. But if you read the Bible, there's nothing here new. When I tell you about Moses, if I tell you about Abraham, if I tell you about Adam, if I tell you about all the stories of the Old Testament, if I tell you about Jesus, did they give you anything new? Especially, the size of the story here is a lot smaller. Literally, you cannot understand the Quran without reading the Bible. So I'm giving you a small version of the Bible, a corrupt version of the Bible in this book. And you call it New Revelation? I go buy right now a brand new book from anybody writing a new book and change it around and print it and put it on the market next week. You know what's going to happen to me? Go in jail. If Muhammad is alive today and Moses is alive today and Jesus is alive today and all the stuff you put here, these people can sue Muhammad and put him in jail. Because literally he's counterfeit our Bible into this book. Now, prophet, can any Muslim share with me one prophecy in this book? Can any Muslim share with me one prophecy Muhammad gave? A prophet without prophecy? I never have any study to be a doctor. I have no clue what doctors do. Will you let me perform a heart surgery on you? Oh, no. On reading the Quran, one is at once convinced it's the word of Allah, for no man can write such perfect guidance on so many subjects. Perfect guidance? For those who never read the Bible, this is the perfect guidance. There's not even one story taken from the Bible into this book are perfect or close to perfect or to be understood. Let me give you an example. Talk about Noah a second ago. Three sons, three daughters. Ham, Shem, Japheth. We know their name. We know that they were born before the flood. We know their daddy built the ark or the big boat in 120 years. We know how big the ark is. Do you know that you can put inside this boat 125,000 sheep? It was huge. I'm learning this from my son's book. Do you know that it is the size of a soccer field? It's huge. People think, boat. They think of a boat like a boat, like big, smaller than this church. How in the world are you going to put all the animals inside this boat? Do you know how big the boat? Have you read the Bible how big the boat was? And did Abraham, did Noah, went pick up the biggest elephant and the biggest everything? He got babies. Pink and blue, pink and blue, pink and blue, and put them all together there. But then he said, so the story, now, the story in the Quran, you see the perfect guidance of the Quran, he says, Noah have one son. And he said, oh, my son, come be with us in the ark. Oh, no, Dad. By the way, he was swimming outside in the water. When you read the story in the Quran, it's a joke. Let me tell you that. It started raining. The water started rising up. And then Noah went out of the boat to get the animals to put him in. Does it make sense to you? But that's okay. And then the animals was inside the ark. We read it together in the Quran. I'm not making it up. For those who does not believe me, I'll show it to you in the Quran. And then his son is swimming in the water. And the water gets up high. And he said, my son, come be with us. Oh, no, Dad. I'll be okay. I will go up to the mountain. Oh, son, nobody will be saved this day. And he's still swimming. And the waves came between them, and he was among the drowned. Wow. And this is the perfect guidance of Noah's story? Who was with Noah in the ark? His people? Who are they? Oh, his people. Okay. How long did Noah take him to build the ark? God knows. How big is the ark? God knows. What happened to the ark? God knows. Anything, every question, God knows. And that's it. And that's the perfect guidance of the story of Noah. So it is the story of Abraham. So the story of Moses. So the story of Jonah. So is every story in the Bible taken in the Quran. You cannot understand what the Muhammad is talking about. Literally, you are going like, wow. What perfect guidance. So many subjects. Yeah, so many subjects. That is generous Quran. He talk about everything. He even make Alexander the Great a great prophet in Islam. Alexander the Great, the wicked man, he is a prophet. He's good as Muhammad, as any other prophet, according to the Quran. Is it holy book? Big deal. They make a big deal about the Quran when a rumor that a soldier has fleshed this book into the tablet. And you know who make it known to the worldwide? Our own senators. Those who hate Bush. How dare you are Bush and your soldier to make your one of your soldiers to flesh that out on the Quran? I mean, our senators want Bush to apologize to the Muslim world because of a rumor did not even happen. And guess what? The result of that, a few hundred church has been burned and a few hundred people has been killed worldwide. No big deal. And after all, found out it was not true. It was just a made up story. Some jihadists made it up. How many senators went to the president and asked apology of all the Bibles has been burned for the last 1400 years? And all the churches has been burned and Christian inside are worshipping. I never heard of any of them went to say, we need the Muslim people to stop burning the Bibles. I remember when I was a kid, maybe 12 years old, 13 years old, big, huge truck full of Gideon's Bible was burned to the ground. And everybody knew about it, that the Muslim burned the Bibles. And they were, Allahu Akbar! We burned this book! And it was okay. And we in Egypt swallow it and just let it go. How big is the Quran I showed to you in my hand? It's exactly 9.1 the size of the Bible. It's not a very big book. 24 hours. You can read the whole entire Quran in 24 hours. But American people don't have time to read the Quran. As a matter of fact, they will let people run for office swearing on the Quran without even looking at what the Quran says. Keith Ellison, the first man, congressman, who swear on the Quran to office. And he is the Nation of Islam. That's the people, Nation of Islam, believe white is devil, evil, burn, go to hell. That's the doctrine. And the people of Minnesota, when they told me that he's running in Minnesota, I said, how many black in Minnesota? I said, less than 10%. I said, he have no chance to win. Well, guess what? He won victoriously. And people clap hand for him. And when he put his hand on the Quran to swear to office, people clap hand again. Keep clapping hand, America. So very important, another book is called the Book of Hadith. The Quran is, we're going to talk about a little bit more later. The Hadith now is, when American people hear the word Hadith, they think that's another magic thing. Okay, another holy thing. Let me talk about holy. Before I forget it. Marriage in the Bible is a union between a man and a woman. That's a holy marriage. That's a holy union. What does the Quran teach about marriage? To see how holy it is. Man, oh man, there's a lot to talk about marriage. I spent this 2 years in college in Alexandria, Egypt. Marriage and divorce in Islam, Sharia, the law of Islam. A man can have 4 wives at the time. That's a holy marriage, and that's a marriage to a free Muslim woman. She is not a concubine, she is not a slave. A man can have unlimited number. By the way, when the Muslims speak to you and share this with you, they only stop at the point. And they said, you have to treat them equally, and if you cannot treat them equally, then one. And they stop there. I said, read the rest of the verse. No. And all what your right hand possessed. All the women you can catch by buying them as a slave or by killing their husbands and their daddies. Say, are you watching? No, unlimited number. That's the first, second marriage. Third marriage is a marriage called, there's a marriage called marriage of Messiar. What is marriage from Messiar? You marry a woman, you see her once a year for a week. Messiar, you go by. You go by her, visit, spend a week with her and let her go. Okay? There's marriage for fun. Marriage for fun. I'm not kidding. That's Quran teaching. Marriage for fun. Shia practice marriage for fun in America. You're laughing? Let me take you to Detroit, Michigan right now. Let me take you to Orlando, Florida. Or somewhere in California, New York, New Jersey. There's Shia Muslim practice marriage for fun. It is a marriage, or a union between a man and a woman, which is in the contract. I studied this for detail. It's a limited on time and how much is the price. So I would like to marry you for a couple of weeks for $70. Or I'd like to marry you for 6 months. It can be up to one time set. You just go have a good time with the lady and give her the money. Or 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, whatever. It's a limited time and limited price. At the end of the time, a man must pay. If you want to renew the contract, you have to renew it again. After he pay, what do we call this in America? It is in the Holy Quran, a holy marriage. I wish you hear the conversation, the debate between Shia and Sunni on this topic. Because Sunni would tell the Shia, this is unlawful. And Shia said, oh no, 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 it's not unlawful. Prophet Muhammad performed this marriage. He lived with women like that. Oh no, but he make it unlawful later. And they tell you, he make it lawful, and he make it unlawful, and then he make it lawful second time, and he make it unlawful second time, and he make it lawful third time, and then he make it unlawful, and he never make it lawful again. After the third time. Wow. Well, why he make it unlawful if it is lawful? Are you trying to tell me that it is wrong? You trying to tell me that Muhammad committed adultery? He did something wrong? And you hear the debate get hot between Shia and Sunni. Show me a verse in the Quran. The Shia will say to the Sunni, show me a verse in the Quran where Muhammad said it's unlawful. All what we have here is the verses which it said you can have women for money. How holy is the Quran? I don't know. Muslim would tell you now the hadith is the collection of the sayings and action of Muhammad. Everything Muhammad said, Muslim put in books. And it's written, there's over 750,000 hadiths. Everything Muhammad did, which we call sunnah, was a way of life, how he did it, it also has been written in a book. So Muhammad said something, people write it down. Muhammad did, they saw him do something, they wrote it down. 750,000 hadiths. Muhammad was married to 13 wives and have 31 woman relationship with woman, like marriage for fun. When in the world he's going to have time to talk? I mean, we're talking about, he was a prophet for 23 years. From the age 40, he died 63. In 23 years, if you have more than two wives, most likely you're not going to have time to talk. I'm married to one. And I'll be calling her. It's my phone. I'm calling. I'm the one who making the phone call. I say, honey, can you be quiet for me so I can tell you why I'm calling you? But she's changed. She's much better now. Thank God now. She allowed me to talk. But Muslim people will tell you, you will not understand the Quran unless you read it in Arabic. Let's get serious here for a minute. You must read it in Arabic so you understand it. What a good excuse for the Muslim to continue growing in the world. It has been 1400 years. And guess what? 90% or close to it, Muslim people never read the Quran. Not just recently, never read it since Islam gets to their countries. For the last 1400 years. See, here in America saying, Arab are Muslim. Oh, this guy is Egyptian, he's Muslim. He's Arab, he's Muslim. No, there is Christian Arab. And only 13% of Muslim in the world today are Arab. And 87% never read the Quran, never read a verse in the Quran. They memorized verses, they caught it in their prayer. They quote it in their prayer without understanding what it says. Iran, 40-some million people. How many one in Iran can read this book? They all speak Farsi. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Indonesia. Show them up in Indonesia. Do you know Indonesia alone, there's 220 million Muslim people in Indonesia? 220 million never read the Quran. I went there twice. I go inside the mosque to meet with the imam. And I told the imam, Assalamu alaikum, alaikum assalam, rahmatullah, barakatuh. They know this verse. They know the statement. It's a greeting, a Muslim greeting. حضرتك ممكن عند حضرتك وقت نتكلم مع بعض لمدة 5 دقائق؟ Huh? Do you have 5 minutes? I can talk with you, please. See, he does not understand this. كيف حالك اليوم? Huh? All I say is, how are you doing? How are you doing today? They don't know anything in Arabic. They don't speak any Arabic. If you say good morning, they don't understand it. Sabah al-khair, literally, when I said sabah al-khair to Muslim Indonesia, they have no clue what it means. It means good morning. But they pray long prayer in Arabic. And as I talk with them, and as I discuss with them for 2 weeks, I found out they memorize it without knowing what it is. 220 million people in Indonesia today never read the Quran. They are more than all the Arab Muslims who can read this book in one country, Indonesia. And I was thinking that, man, this is only happening in the third world country. Egypt, Indonesia, Malaysia, Turkey, Kuwait, Afghanistan, Pakistan. These are dumb people. But guess what? It's happening here in America. I met with American Muslim who pray 5 times a day and they do not know what is good morning mean in Arabic. They have no clue what they're saying in their prayer. American people, smart, intelligent. It's all about deception. Now, the second thing I forgot to tell you about this last slide, they tell you, you will not understand the Quran unless you know the Hadith. It's like the Hadith is a magic key to open and understand the Quran. Literally, that's what they think. It's just dumb excuses. Have you read the Hadith? No. Have any Muslim read the Hadith? No. Do any Muslim know what the Hadith says? No. But that's how you know the Islam religion. They know the Hadith. I will share with you Wednesday night some of the Hadiths. It is foolishness to believe in this to be true. The Hadith says, if you eat 7 dates in the morning, Muhammad said, 7 dates, it's a fruit we eat in Egypt, no poison or no spell will harm you all day long. I debated a guy on Pal Talk. He is a doctor. I said, sir, I will send you $100 bill. I don't want to spend any of your money. And go to Saudi Arabia and buy the best date you can buy. And eat all the stack. $100, you can buy a huge stack. Not 7 dates, a whole stack. And I'll give you 1 milligram of some poison and see how long you're going to live. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to give you a spoon or a shovel of poison. Just a small injection. Small, tiny injection. You can't even see the water come out of it. To your blood. And I promise you'll be like this. Or I give you a small, you know, this is some powerful poison. It can kill anybody. It's just a little bit poison. I'll mix one small, tiny powder into a cup of tea and drink it. See how long you can live. Muhammad, and they believe this hadith to be true. And Muhammad said it. Come Wednesday night to see other hadiths. Now, they tell us that Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world, and it is the second largest religion in the world. Who said that? United Nations. Do you know anything United Nations said or did is right since their existence? I'm debating anybody of United Nations to tell me one thing they said was right, or one thing they did was right. Just one thing. I don't know why these people are there. They are there to stop me from my ministry. They passed a law 2 months ago that my ministry right now is illegal. Our American guy signed the paper. It's called hate speech. Now our senators in America, they're trying to pass it. 24 Democrat senators by the leadership of Hillary and Obama, and two liberal Republican and the Jewish guy, the independent, are all putting the bill to the floor. They want to stop me, so next Wednesday, I won't be able to come speak to you. And if I've been caught, if this law has passed, if I've been caught one time, the first time I'll be caught is 10 years in prison. Because they consider my speech as a hate speech. And watch when you hear me. I say, we love Muslim people. We must love Muslim people. We have no option to be a Christian except to love the Muslim people. If you don't love the Muslim people, you're no Christian. I mean, how clear does that say? Muslim people are our enemy. Ah, that's hate speech. That's not hate speech. I'm going to read you what the Quran teach. And if the Quran says that they hate us and they must kill us, then they are our enemy. And because they are our enemy, we must love them. You know why? Because Jesus says, love your enemy. Love your Muslim. But is Islam really the fastest growing religion of the world? Or baloney Islam is growing, the fastest growing religion in the world. Do they, when they come to America, they tell you, believe in Islam, if not, we're going to cut your head. Do they tell you that? No, that's not Islam. By the way, if you choose to leave Islam in the future, you or your descendant. Now, when you are a married man and you are a Muslim, your children are Muslim automatically. If your son or your daughter, your grandson or granddaughter, choose in the future to leave Islam, we must chop off their head. Does it tell you that? What does it tell you? We love you. We believe in Jesus and we believe in the Bible. We believe in Moses and we believe in the Bible. We love Christian. We love you. Is that what the Quran teach? No. If somebody comes to you and tells that, you say, just same question. Would you share with me a verse in the Quran teach love or peace? Just one verse. Love somebody. You don't have to even love Christians. Just love your wives. Love your children. Love your neighbor. Just love somebody. If you find me a verse in the Quran say, love somebody, I, Usama Daktok, will leave Christian peace and I will become Muslim. But it's not here. But it's a loving peaceful religion. So what is growing in America is not true Islam. While Christians in America who claim to be Christian are leaving the Christian faith, which I believe they were not, and become Muslim, a million men and women in Egypt last year, a million Muslim men and women in Egypt left Islam and become Christian. And in Africa, 6 million Muslims left the religion of Islam and become a Christian. I'm talking about people in Egypt who know what the Quran says, who can read the Quran, who can read the interpretation of the Quran by all Muslim scholars, who understand Islam. They're leaving Islam and becoming a Christian. And then the women who will be get caught and have some story to share with you, they be brought in jail. And in jail, they will be raped by the policemen. And they know it. And they get killed by their own family. Even though with the hardships they meet, they're leaving Islam and they become a Christian. And in America, who they have no clue what the Bible says. They never read the Quran, never understand the Quran, and it's people becoming Muslim. And that's why Islam is growing. No, that's not Islam. That's baloney. Islam is growing. Now they said Islam is the second largest religion. That's another big lie. Why? Because here the United Nations will tell you, Christian is number one. Christianity is the largest. That's the biggest lie from hell. They count all American Christian. Do you know that Jehovah's Witness and Mormon are Christian? Michael Jackson and Madonna are Christian. Did you see Madonna cross on her chest? There was no clothes under the cross, but she was having a cross. And make her a Christian. Bill Clinton and her his husband or her husband, Hillary, are Christian. Right now we have 20 people running for office. 10 for the Democrat side and 10 for the Republican side. And all of them are Christian. They're holding Bibles. And I don't believe none of them to be a Christian. Neither the Democrat or Republican are Christian. The Bible said you don't kill a soul. And the man, the top of the Republican right now is running, Giuliani, whatever his name of New York, he is for abortion. I'm sorry, that's not Christian. The 20 people running for office right now, they have no problem to have two men to get married. They have no problem to kill babies. And they're Christian? I'm sorry, you don't know what Christianity is. So obviously, here's some number. Let me show you some number with you. That's from the Muslim website. They're lying. I believe they're 1.2, not 1.5. They tell us they are 22% Muslim in the world today. I don't believe they're over 18. But do you know how many Christians in the world today, worldwide? Less than 9%. We're not even half of the Muslim. I'm talking about true born-again Christian. It's not because your name is John or your name is Paul or your name is Jesus make you a Christian. It's not because you come to this church here, you go to some Baptist church somewhere down there, or some Catholic church, make you a Christian. Only born-again Christian are Christian. Nicodemus is no good unless he is born again. That's why Jesus told him, you must be born again. America, if you are not born-again Christian, you are not a Christian country. You are not a Christian nation. We are almost half of the Muslim. Muslim is the largest group in the world. Here's the growth rate. They're growing roughly 5.5%. 5.5%. That's another lie here. We're growing 1.5%. Do you know if Islam continue growing the way they're growing, in less than 30 years, there will be more Muslim in America than Christian? literally, will be wiped out. The growth rate of Islam the last 50 years up to 200%. Christianity, 47%. While we get one to Christ, Muslim gain four to Muhammad. Why is it? You know why? Because you choose to disobey Christ's command. I speak with kids and church, and I say, can somebody share with me what is the Great Commission? Simple question. Great Commission. What is Great Commission? Where we found the Great Commission in the Bible? Matthew 28:19. What is the Great Commission? Go make disciples. Do you know that we're super busy with everything but not what the Bible teach? I can ask any of you about your favorite team, baseball, and you will name all of them. And I guarantee you, I will ask you the name of Jesus' disciples, the 12 disciples, and you will not even quote 7 or 8 of them right. Or Jacob, children, the 12 sons of Jacob, and you will not quote 5 of them right. Who would dare me to do that? Anybody would like to dare me today? We're busy sitting, got distracted of everything else to the point we don't have time to read the Quran. The greatest dangers we have in our country, not right now in Switzerland, I believe, they make this book illegal. It is illegal to hold the book of the Quran and read because they found out what's in it. But we in America are putting it in our school, in our hospital, in our hotel. We're giving it away to our kids here. As a souvenir, I wish as the Muslim pastor around, American read it. We're not obeying Christ. Christ says the Great Commission, go and make disciples. As you go, make disciples. How many one of you is here this morning because somebody led you to the Lord last week? Last week, somebody come to know the Lord in this church here last week because somebody of this church shares the gospel with. How about last month? You didn't have one person to Christ. You have not won one person to Christ the last month. You guys are super busy last month. I know this baseball games and everything. Now, how about last 3 months? 6 months? Last year? How many one of you fulfill the Great Commission towards your neighbor and somebody you love, somebody you care for? I'm asking you to raise up your hand, by the way, if you have not understand what I'm saying. You see that problem in America, church? Not just you. It's the same as Baptist, same as Catholic, same as Presbyterian, same as Methodist. All the church are sleeping. We think it is the preacher's job, and he will do it in the pulpit. No, it is your job as you go make disciples. If you don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your neighbor, with your friend, with your family members, how is the church going to grow? God is going to send some other human or some angels to do it for us? It's a great command to us. I wonder how many of us really take his walk with Christ seriously. He commanded us to do one thing. Actually two. Love one another and make disciples. And guess what? The church don't love one another and don't have time to make disciples. After all, we don't have time. We're busy, distracted with everything else in the world, but not to obey Christ. Is Islam loving, peaceful religion? I mean, I hear this all the time. I just have an article yesterday I was reading from newspaper, and the article said, there is nothing in the Quran teach hate. There is nothing in the Quran teach to kill. Or to fight. There is nothing in the Quran. It's like, man, does this guy talk about the same Quran the Muslim people believe in or some other Quran? You know that all English translations of the Quran, which is translated by Muslim, all of them said the opposite of what this man said? Open any Quran in English. I don't care which one. And I'll show you the Quran teach hate and teach nothing about love or peace. They tell you that the word Islam means peace. Somebody is a little bit smart because it does not mean peace. It means surrender or submission. Somebody is a little bit smarter here not here, where I was. Yeah, in the Islamic Center in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. He wrote an article and he said, the word Islam comes from another word, and he does not tell you what is this other word is, which means Islam, which means peace. Wait a minute. Arabic is not like English, for your knowledge. See, English, you go back to the to the Latin and say, the word blah blah came from the word Latin blah blah blue, which means whatever. Now, in Arabic, the words come from Arabic. We don't have another mother language. Arabic is the mother language. So the word Islam does not come from another word. That's the mama. Mama does not come from anybody else. Mama is a mama. Okay? So, Islam means peace? No, it means surrender. It means submission. Watch it in the movie. The thief will be running and the cops will hold the gun and he say, Islam! Me? Surrender! Give up! Don't run anymore! Freeze! One more step, the bullet in your chest. You see? That's what the word Islam means. It means surrender. But they tell you it means peace. Oh, so what does the word salam mean? Shalom in Hebrew? It means peace. Islam is the same word as salam? That's two different words. Is, let me imagine with me, you don't speak English. And I tell you, faithful and unfaithful are the same thing. No. I am very unfaithful to my wife. She loved me. That makes me look fool, doesn't it? That's what the hell. Islam and salam, they sound the same, sound close, but they're two separate words. Trust me in that. Watch this piece here.
I pray to Allah that He will make the enemies fall into their own trap, and He will destroy the Jews and their helpers from among the Christians and the communists.
You know what he's saying here? You're going to see this flag, the Muslim flag, into on the top of the White House. He's speaking there in front of the White House in Washington. It's not far away, America. Obama is running for office. He claimed to be a Christian. Go see his church. Read about his church. It is black hate to Jesus group of people. They're not church. His pastor and Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Initiative of Islam, and Muammar Gaddafi are best buddies. His pastor speak about separation. Church was never taught separation. If white pastor stand up here, or a black pastor stand up here, until separate from other color, he is not church, he is not Christian, he is not pastor. If your pastor stand up here and tell you, don't love the black or don't love the gray color like myself or some other people, he is not a Christian. He is a precious man. He needs to repent of his sin and to accept Christ. Start from the beginning. His pastor teach separation, black from white. This church have members of Muslim. A Muslim joined the church there. I called them. I asked them. I made the conversation after a long time trying to get through. And they refused to talk to me about Obama. Then I talked as a guy who would like to join the church. And I said, I'd like to know some information about your church. Yeah, no problem. How big is your church? 6,000 members. Wow. Are you all African? Yes, we're African. I said, praise Allah. I'm also African. I'm Egyptian. I'm African. Okay, and keep going, talk with him. Do I have to be baptized to join your church? No, you don't have to. You just walk, attend two Sunday class and walk the aisle. Good. If I am a Muslim, that's my last question. If I am a Muslim, and I believe in Muhammad, peace be on him, but I also believe in Prophet Jesus, peace be on him, can I join your church without giving up my Islamic faith? She said, no problem at all. We have so many members in our church are Muslim. And my question, final question for her is that how Obama became a member in your church? And she was quiet. Ma'am, hello, are you there? Is that how Obama became a member? She said, I cannot answer this question for you. I thought, your church are putting this wolf in the sheepskin to run him to the White House.
Yeah, that's right.
When did you see him in the church worship last time, ma'am? She said, I cannot recall. Last month? 2 months ago. She said, I can't recall. I said, ma'am, do you attend your church? Do you go to your church? I mean, if this is the church of Obama right now, and the President Obama came in, don't you think some people are going to look, if Obama's here?
Yeah.
Do you know what happened when a Muslim become a Christian? You guys have not met a Muslim and become a Christian. I know some of my friends in America here who were Muslim imams, blah, 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 and become a Christian. Mark Gabriel, for example. As Mark Gabriel talked, the word Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, this word comes between every two words. You know, sometimes you meet people speak trash and you put F between every two words.
Yeah.
So as Muslim who come to Christ, they put Jesus between every two words. Have you ever heard the name Jesus out of Obama's mouth?
No.
Obama is a Muslim man, of a Muslim daddy, Sheikh Hussein, of a Muslim grandpa, Sheikh Mahmoud, of a Muslim great-grandpa, Muslim family from Kenya. He is running for office, and half of my Baptist people are going to vote for him. All Muslims are going to vote for him. All homosexual and lesbian are going to vote for him. All baby abortion people killer will vote for him. All atheists vote for him. And half of the Baptists vote for him. And some of you in this service this morning are going to vote for him. And if he runs with Hillary, he is a winner ticket. By the way, they may harm you because I said this in your church. Listen to the rest of this. If you dim the light a little bit, brother, please.
What is your path? Jihad. What is your greatest desire? Death for the sake of Allah.
Each of us lives his days and nights, hoping more than anything to be killed for the sake of Allah.
We, the imams and the mosque preachers, we have begun to consider explosive belts. We've begun considering any means of destroying the Americans. Throats must be slit and skulls must be shattered. This is the path to victory, to shahada, and to sacrifice. But we have a duty to hate them, as is written in the Quran and the Sunnah.
We have the duty to hate them, as it is written where? And Sunnah, how Muhammad did it. The way of life, Muhammad. You guys have not read this book yet. You know what? To be in peace, don't worry about it. Don't read the book. Stay ignorant. Then you don't have to worry about it. Or, read the book. And know what's written in this book. I'm going to share with you a few of the verses written in this book. But I don't have time to share all of them. Because there are obviously over 350 verses in this book. Teach everything but love and peace. Hate and all the bad things. Well, that's one side of the story. This is the Muslim people overseas. Americans look at them, the Muslim Americans say, they're not Muslim. They're made up. They misunderstand the Quran. They misquote the Quran. They're taking the verses out of context. They're not real Muslim. They're extremists. They're bad ones. We are the real Muslim. Now, let's hear the second story.
All religions call for love.
See? All religion call for love. I know some of my Muslim friends that are so naive, so nice, wonderful people. As a matter of fact, they are more loving than some of you. I'm not kidding you. They are very nice people. But are they true Muslim? Do they really believe what the Quran teach? Do they have ever investigated what the Quran teach? They are as good as you of their knowledge of the book. They never read it. Or when they read it, they don't want to understand it. So he said, all religion teach love. This is Imam, live here in America, talking to AD on Fox News. Listen to the rest of his talk.
No religion calls for hate, Edie.
See? Now, if I show you in the Quran verses call for hate, that means this guy's a liar. He said, no religion. You know, the statement is true. No religion call for hate except Islam. All the religion walked, invented by people who walk on this earth for the last 6,000 years, not one religion teach you, you must accept my religion, I'm going to kill you, and you cannot leave my religion because I'm going to kill you. Except this book.
Then what explains that?
What explains this is politics.
You don't see any American cartoons saying, no, kill the Muslims.
But these are not a result of the Islamic impulse.
Well, I think it's a result of Islamic verses of the Quran. See, he's not saying, it's a politician. This has nothing to do with the religion. He already said it. He established his doctrine, his belief that no religion teaches hate, and it's just a politician. Politics.
It is a result of a political impulse.
See? Here it is.
Are those people taking the Quran and taking it out of context?
Is this a question or that's an answer? That's an answer. If I am AD, I'll say, sir, would you read to me chapter 5, verse 51? And tell me what it means. Would you read to me chapter 3, verse 84? Would you read to me chapter 9, verse 5, chapter 9, 37? Read. Would you mind read for us chapter 9 and tell us what it means? Or chapter 47, what it means? No, she's telling him, there's people taking the Quran out of context. And he's like, wow, I bet his heart was, ooh. Oh, yes, that's right. That's exactly what you said. Thank you. Here he is. Look at his answer.
Yes, there's a difference between what we say in this country on that, you know, you should differentiate between the...
Is that what we see in this country or what's written in the Bible? His statement's coming up. Is this what the Americans teach or what the Bible teach? Listen to the statement.
The sin, hate the sin, but not the sinner. The Quran teaches the same principle.
Oh, the Quran teaches the same principle. Show me a verse in the Quran that God or Muslim love sinners. The only statement repeated more than any other statement, God hated infidel. God hated sinner. God hated this. God does not love. God does not love. You never find in the Quran, God loves sinner. One time. I will show 100 for one, if you can get me one. That God does not love the sinner. God does not love the wicked. God does not love. You will never find it. But see, he's repeating a common statement, oh, hate the sinners. No, hate sin and don't hate the sinners.
How do we get these terrorist organizations that come out and make these statements and use the Quran to justify themselves and their actions?
There is something in the human psychology.
Yes, indeed.
Which believes in the superiority of its own individual faith and wants to impose it on everybody
else. Let's use some big words here.
There are those who are Christians who are like this. There are those who are Muslims who are like this.
I'm sorry. There's no such a thing as a Christian. Turn the light on, brother, if you don't mind. There's no such a thing as a Christian do like this. Let me say it again. If you don't love your enemies, the Muslim people, all over the world, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. That's what Jesus taught us. If you can't love them, you're not of God. I'll show you the verse. I hope we get the time to get to it. Are you like Baptists here, 12 o'clock, you have to get out of the church? My Baptist people, 12 o'clock, I don't even have to look at my watch. The priest people start leaving, I know it's 12 o'clock. I'll steal 10 minutes of your lunch today, forgive me. Don't be offensive, but don't take it seriously, okay? 10 minutes, I'm going to kill anybody. Do we really? Do Christians really do that? Do Christians go and kill? Show me a verse in the Bible. What did Jesus tell Peter? You dare put the sword back in your pocket. And what do you do? Bend down, cut the ear, fix it. What happened, Jesus, when we go to town and people don't believe us? Should we pray and ask God's curse come on them? No, take the dust off your foot or your shoes on the city and leave. Is that what Muhammad taught? Wait until you see our seminar, Muhammad of Christ. That's another one. It's too bright here in the front or just me? I can't see anything. That's good. That would be good.
All religions.
No. I want to hear you again. That's enough. So, somebody is lying. This guy is liar or this guy is liar. They cannot be both Muslims telling the truth. We must hate him. It's our duty. We must crush their head. We must cut their throat off. All religions teach love. Islam teach love. One of them is lying. How about we look what the Quran teach? Never mind what Usama says to you this morning. I may have made it up. I may be just some guy who does not like Muslim people, try to make them look bad because I just don't like them. How about we just... the best thing I was asked on David Elliott on the TV station here, he was interviewing me and said, I said, my friend, I don't want to have to tell you anything. What about just let the Quran speak for itself? See, if I say to you today, Islam is the most hateful religion, Islam is this, Islam, they're going to ask me to apologize tomorrow. But if I say, Allah says in the Quran, blah, blah, blah. Muhammad said, blah, blah, blah. You want an apology? You want an apology? Go ask God. Go ask Muhammad. He will give it to you. Let's hear what the Quran teach. We'll get the real story from their own words. Here we go.
Fighting is decreed to you, and it is hated to you. Yet so that perhaps you may hate something, and it is good for you, and so that perhaps you love something, and it is evil for you. And God knows, and you do not know.
Love is ordained for you. Is that what it says? You guys read English? Can you read that? I refuse to use the small screen to make sure it's big enough for everybody to read it. Fighting is decreed for you. And Allah knows, Muhammad knows that they hate to go kill their neighbors. But perhaps you hate something which is good for you. And perhaps you love something which is not good for you. And God knows, and you're dumb. You don't know. Here's the verse in the Quran. You want to hear what Muhammad said by his own word? Hear Muhammad. Come on, let's hear Muhammad. Our prophet. Listen what Muhammad says.
Our prophet, the messenger of our Lord, ordered us to fight you till you worship Allah alone or pay us the jizya tribute tax in submission. Our prophet has informed us that our Lord says, whoever among us is killed as a martyr shall go to paradise to lead such a luxurious life as he has never seen, and whoever survives shall become your master.
So what was the command from Muhammad to his people? To fight until people worship not but Allah, until everybody become Muslim. If you were killed, well, no problem. Get to paradise. The smallest number of version is 72 in the hadith, and the largest number is 700 version. Real version, no fruit, no any jokes. Some people say, oh, the word virgin in the Quran come from another word which means grape, white grapes, white raisin. I understand where the people come up with this interpretation. They ask Muhammad, oh, Prophet of God, how can a man have time to sleep with all these women? He said, oh, time out, you guys misunderstand me. I didn't mean virgin. Virgin, I meant raisin. You eat raisin in your beds. No, he didn't say that. Muhammad said, a man in the garden in heaven will have power to perform sex 100 times a night. And when he described him in the Quran, he described him with big black eye and big breast. And I never know that raisin have black big eyes and breast. Now, and if they won, if they survive the war and they won the jihad, they become the master. Does this teach love? Well, let's see, one more word here, one more statement from Muhammad. What is the message of Muhammad? See, Jesus had a message. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Okay? Listen to what Muhammad, why Muhammad came.
I have been commanded to fight against people till they testify to the fact that there is no God but Allah and believe in me that I am the messenger and in all that I have brought.
Do I need to explain to you what this English? My English is not as good as that. I mean, if I try to explain this, I'll make it worse.
Arabs are the most noble people in lineage, the most prominent, and the best in deeds. We were the first to respond to the call of the Prophet. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of His messenger. We fight people until they believe in Allah. He who believes in Allah and His messenger has protected his life and possessions from us. As for one who disbelieves, we will fight him forever in the cause of Allah. Killing him is a small matter to us.
Must be love. You remember this picture? Half of this country right now believe it never happened. Or there is people really right now believe that Bush did it. He controlled this aeroplane to hit these buildings with remote control. Because he wanted to get the oil of Iraq. This picture takes place in Israel. This picture takes place in Russia. The school, if you remember it, a few years ago, this is in Indonesia. And this one in Madrid, Spain. And this one in Germany is a nightclub. And last one I have for you here is in London. And by the way, if you go on this website right now, it used to have 10,000 pictures. Now the number grew because this was 4 years ago when I took the picture. This is just what happened the last 15, 20 years. 10,000 pictures of the fruit falling of the tree of Islam. See, one of the two things. If the guy on the left was telling the truth, all these people are wrong and the Quran is wrong. But obviously, these people practice what the Quran teach and have not done yet. We're going to share this a little bit more. Or the people in America who claim to be a loving, peaceful are one of the two things. They're ignorant of their book, they don't know what the Quran teach, or they're big deceivers, and they know what the Quran teach, and they're lying. And I have enough proof that so many of them are big deceivers. When I show you the guy said, we condemn this act, talking about September 11. Same guy, I'll show you the same guy again, but different setting. Same guy, post picture. We're here to celebrate our 19 heroes who performed September 11. I mean, how more deception you can be than that? I'm sorry for your loss. Allahu Akbar! I'm glad God takes the rest of them down. I show you people do the same thing. They're here to sorrow for September 11. They see them holding American flag, small flag. The man is with a beard, Muslim Sunni, jihadist. By the way, when you see a Muslim with a beard, he's a jihadist. 100%. And his wife next to him, she's covered, Muslim cover, and tears drawn from her eyes in commemoration of September 11. to remember this day. And the cameras zoom on them. I mean, our media trying to make them the best they ever can be. Zoom on them. And there were a million people in New York at the day. But the cameras zoom on this couple to tell you, Islam is a loving peace. We see? She's crying. Hold the American flag. And I guarantee you, the same two people, if I met with them separate later, and I have so many kids to share, they are so happy that this takes place in our country. You know what's amazing about all this picture? If I put these people who perform this act in one room, they cannot talk to each other. They don't speak each other's language. The people in Russia don't speak Arabic. Neither the one in Germany, neither the one in Indonesia. Neither the one in England, unless you have some background of Muslim. They came from Pakistan and England. The people, and they speak different languages. They speak Russian, they speak German, they speak Indonesian, they speak whatever language. They don't communicate with each other, but they follow the teaching of one book. They're not foolish, that's like they're trying to tell you, they're uneducated. They're doctors. They're very smart people. The last thing that happened in England a few weeks ago, 6 doctors, for heaven's sake. They tell you, oh, they don't have jobs. We need to give them more money and give them more jobs and educate them. Then you get rid of this jihad thing. Get rid of this book. It's not the people. The problem is not the Muslim people. The problem is in Islam. All the lies they try to give you some reasons why this is happening are lies. The only reason is they follow the book, the Quran. Here is a good verse, Muslim quote for you to tell you that Islam is not what you think it is. The Quran says,
no compulsion in religion. Indeed, the right way is made distinct from error.
See, the Quran says, no compulsion in religion. It's the loving, peaceful religion. That's a lie. When I tell you no compulsion in religion, that does not mean I love you. That does not teach. This verse alone cannot teach any love. Period. It is not a loving verse. I can understand it that don't force me to become not Muslim. Isn't it? No compulsion religion. And what you don't understand because you don't have a clue what the Quran is and how the Quran was written, this is a deleted verse. Nusikha. Nusikha means wipe out. It's no good. It's early verses. These verses came to Muhammad after this verse, which cancels this verse. Read Ibn Kathir, read Tabari, read Qurtubi, read the Nakhshari. All Muslim scholars, they will tell you, this verse has been deleted by the new verse of 9:5. Chapter 9, verse 5. You can read it in a second. So this is no good. I can show you a verse in the Quran that said, it's okay to drink wine. As long as you don't drink before you go to pray. What? But any Muslim people drink wine? No, why? Because it's nusikha, delete. Why? The new verse said, don't touch the wine. Muhammad wrote the Quran in 2 different cities, Mecca and Medina. The Mecca is the first 13 years. And even the early verses written in Medina has been deleted by the new verses of Medina. All the verses written in Mecca, if there's a new verse in Medina, the last 10 years of his life, teaches the opposite what is written in Mecca, this verse is already deleted, automatically deleted. The Quran says, whatever verse we deleted, we replace it with a better verse or like it. That's what the Quran teaches. So, if you tell me here, no compassion religion, is there even a new Medini verses, and there's a late Medini verses, we have to obey. Muslim must obey the new verses of the Quran, not the old one. The Bible says, I give you the same idea in the Bible. Love those who love you, hate those who hate you, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's Mosaic law. It's very just. The reason we have corruption in this country is because we're not treating our criminal right. When a man commit a murder, or a man commit a robbery, and a man do terrible things, and you give him 6 months in hotel, that's not how you create. If a man commit a murder, kill somebody, and you put him in a you're gonna give him a death sentence now, and you spend on him $10,000 a year for 20 some years, and then you kill him, that's not justice. The person who died on the spot, and he was beaten with a hammer. And they complain about the injection in his arm. It was hurt. Is this just? Is this eye for eye? Tooth for tooth? The person down the street was hit by some hard weapon. Used the same weapon in the new person who killed him. after he proves that he's guilty. No, in America, we're not doing justice. We're taking them criminal and put them in a hotel, and I and you pay for their food and for health care. I don't have health care right now. Me and my wife and my son, traveling for 7 years in this country, doing ministry, we do not have health care. We cannot afford it. And if we got sick, we have a problem. And the criminal are in the prison, I pay for their health care. That's not justice. Now, the New Testament say love. Love your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy. So for me as a Christian, I have to live by what comes after but. Jesus taught us to love. And I have to love. I have no option except to love. So is Muslim understanding the Quran. Any old verses, no compulsion religion, early verses has been deleted with the new verses. And they must obey the new verses. Listen to some of these new verses.
Fight them. God will torment them by your hands, and he will put them to shame, and he will give you victory over them, and he will heal the chest of a believing people.
قَاتِلُوهُمْ يَعَذِبُمُ اللَّهُ بَيْدِيكُمْ. Fight them, God will torment them by your hands. That's what the Quran teaches. Love, is it? How about this verse?
O you who believe, what is the matter with you when it was said to you, go forth for the sake of God? You cling heavily to the earth. Are you satisfied with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? So the enjoyment of the life of this world is but a little compared to the life of the hereafter.
What's wrong with you, Muslim people? Why are you not performing jihad? When you go for the sake of Allah, for the sake of God, that means you go and fight, you go and kill. Any interpretation of any Muslim scholar would tell you the same thing. You're afraid you're going to die? What is the enjoyment of this life? It's nothing. You're going to live, what, 20, 30 more years? How about the 72 virgin and the rivers of wine and honey and milk? Here we go. One more loving verse.
O you prophet, provoke the believers to fight. If there will be 20 patient ones of you, they will have victory over 200. And if there is 100 of you, they will have victory over 1,000 of the infidels. Because they are people who do not understand.
Provoke the believer to do what? Let's compare this to a verse of the Bible. Here we go. Here's the verse of the Bible. They both use the word provoke. Okay? Just to get an idea.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works.
You see the difference between the Holy Spirit and the Holy Satan? I mean, can you see the hair? The Holy Bible, the Holy Quran, we have two books here. One said, provoke one another to love and good work. One said, provoke them to fight. And can you understand the difference between what the Bible teaches and what the Quran teaches? Yeah. Hate and love?
Yeah.
Here we go.
So, when the forbidden months are past, so kill the idolaters wherever you find them, and take them, and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give the zakat, so leave their way free. Surely God is forgiving.
Notice now, this is the verse which deletes the other verse, 256, no compulsion religion. The other one says no compulsion religion. Now here is compulsion religion. A Muslim scholar would tell you that. I did not know that until I read their books. I'm not talking about the scholar of today. Talk about early scholars, that's how Islam spread over the world. And now, some Muslim people will tell you, listen to me for a second here. There is verses in the Quran teach killing, but it's for self-defense. If you are in your own home, have you ever heard this before? If you are in your own home, mind your own business, and somebody comes to attack you to steal your children, rape your wife, we just watch them? Have fun with them? Or you protect your family? You protect your family. Somebody came attack your country? You protect your country. Somebody, you know, this is a common sense. But does the Quran verses teach self-defense? Let's read again. Maybe my English is not good here. So when the forbidden months have passed, this is the 4 months where Arab, before Muhammad, are agreement, they're not going to fight. They're going to be in peace. So kill the idolater when they come attack you. Wherever you find them, wherever you find them, that means what? You search for them. That's how they came from Saudi Arabia to Egypt. We did not go to Saudi Arabia to hurt them. They came to my country, killed 4 million of my people, and forced the rest to Islam. That was a great slaughter. That's how they went to Morocco. That's how they take over. They went to Europe. Now, Read the rest of it. Okay? And take them captive, the slave. And besiege them. That besiege them is self-defense. Lay a wait for them with every kind of ambush. Here is the point. But if they repent, if they converted to Islam, no compulsion religion has been deleted by this verse. So if somebody quote you 2256, no compulsion religion term, this is a good, bad argument because it's not a good verse. It's gone. It's deleted, wiped out, erased. Imagine if it's not written in the Quran. And then, the only option, at least from this verse, there are three options we will have. To become Muslim, to be killed, to be slave. That's it. That's how Islam grew all over the world. Here.
So...